Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Relevant Leader Monthly, a conversation to help equip the leaders of Relevant Community Church to become highly effective influencers. I'm your host, Nick Petrick, and I am excited for this month's podcast. As you all know, great leaders are the hope of the church. That means we are the hope of the church. You who are listening, you are the hope of the church. The reason we put this podcast out is to help equip all of us to become better leaders, to make a bigger impact, because we are the hope of the church. Every couple months, we like to invite a leader or two onto the podcast to share what they have learned about being a highly effective influencer. Because leadership is tricky, there are a ton of good principles, but knowing the principles doesn't always make someone a good leader. One of the best ways that we can learn about leadership is to watch great leaders and do what they do. On today's podcast, we have two of our best leaders joining us, and we get to learn from them. Back in 2019, we started giving out an award called the Leader of the Year at our annual staff celebration. The very first winners of the Leader of the Year were our very own Scott and Jen Marion. Scott and Jen, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, we're excited to be here.
Yeah, so Scott and Jen, I know that me introducing you as some of our best leaders makes you a little bit uncomfortable.
Very.
But I want you to know that you really are great leaders. And I want our listeners to know that you are worth learning from. Honestly, anyone who knows you, especially anyone who's been a part of one of your groups, a team that you've led, or even one of your classes that you've led, has nothing but the best things to say about both of you. So thanks again for joining me today. Let's go ahead and dive in, get started by learning a little bit about you two. So rather than having me introduce you, why don't you share just a little bit about your leadership role here at Relevant?
Wow. So, Jen and I moved to Omaha. We're not from here originally. And we moved here in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And 11. And we were here for, looking around like people do, trying to find our church home. We had young kids.
And there was one criteria in finding the church. We did not want it to be a church plant because our three previous churches
were church plants. Lord, just please put us in an established church. And we were sitting at a football game, and Jen overheard somebody talking about this church.
Young couple was telling an older couple about the church that they had just attended and that they were planning to join. I don't know who that was to this day.
Yep, and it's relevant. So that's how we got here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Our kids fell in love with it. And, so now, however many years later, a lot of years later, 12 years later, we're here.
And so we have three adult children, mm-hmm. Jessica, Coleman, and Georgia, mm-hmm. and two wonderful children-in-law and two fantastic grandchildren.
Yep. And so shortly after coming to Relevant and really just being okay with God having us join another church plant, we had the opportunity to meet with Ronnie and Christy, and they had been praying for a while to have a couple come in and help get a marriage team started. And that was, about 10 years ago, 11,
yeah,
10
yeah.
years ago, yeah. And so
it really fit for where we were at the time and what we were looking for as well. We had both been very active in ministry at previous churches, spending a whole lot of time separately doing various ministry activities. And one would be home with the kids and the other would be at the church. Yep. And this was our first opportunity to do something together. And we agreed as we moved to Omaha that we wanted to find something to do together. And right. So it really made sense.
It's cool to see how God took what we wanted and what mm-hmm. was a need
right.
and married the two together. And I think he continues to do that, within our body
yeah.
today.
Yeah,
that's one of the things I love most about our church.
Yeah.
It's just that we're so focused on not serving just where we're needed, but we look at, our passions, how God has shaped our heart.
Yeah.
And so serving can be something that gives us life.
Yeah.
Rather than just something we need to go do.
Well, and that's what keeps you showing back up.
Yeah.
it keeps you enthusiastic about it if you really are doing what you're made to do instead of what you feel like has to be done.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm so impressed, too, of how much investment through Relevant 101 and 102. And we were in it way in the very beginning, focusing on strengths and how God wired us. Mm-hmm. That's something I share in the business world often of how well we do it here and how well we could do it elsewhere if we're marrying up people's strengths to where God's calling them.
Helping people find their spot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are some of the like specific areas of leadership that you serve in currently?
Today, you know, we are...
I think there's a few, right?
There's one or two.
You laugh as I ask the question.
We lead a marriage team.
Yeah.
The marriage team.
We're elder couples, and so we're part of the elder team. Mm-hmm. I co-lead a men's Tea Life group.
We lead a married group, a married Tea Life group.
Yep, married Tea Life group. And from time to time, we lead classes. We're not doing that right now, but from time to time, we lead classes. Is that it? I think that's it.
Yeah.
So you got a few primary ministries.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of them.
You know, and we always talk about capacity. We always try to get people to have a primary ministry, and we say, only look at serving in another area if you have the capacity to do it. And you two have a very large capacity to serve in a lot of areas. And I even love how you're saying, we're not leading the class right now. In saying right now, you're saying we haven't shut the door to leading it again in the future, probably even plan to lead it again.
Oh, absolutely.
But capacity-wise, you know, we got to be smart and we got to protect ourselves.
I think it's capacity and equipping. I mean, we're very fortunate within our team who now people have come, you know, who've started as being part of a class, now are leading classes.
Sure.
And that's
I think we have 8 couples now leading Naked Marriage that are able to lead Naked Marriage classes now. And it started out where it was just us. So that's so fun to see other people spin on the same class and on the same information. And
I remember sitting in the auditorium the first time you guys led it.
That's right.
And it, you know, it all started because you guys had an idea, a passion, a desire to see it happen. And I'm excited to dive into the material today. Largely for kind of what we're going to end with, but I think you guys have done a great job of equipping and reproducing other leaders, and so great job on that.
Thanks.
So as we look at the topic for today, we're looking at what a highly effective influencer is, and we're hoping to learn from you, from your experience, from things that have worked, things that haven't worked, just to learn whatever we can from you two. So as you all know, the first point of a highly effective influencer is that people want to follow you. And let's just be honest. Without people wanting to follow a leader, nothing else really matters. There's no influence. So in your opinion, from your experience, what makes people want to follow a leader?
You know, Jen and I... this is a little bit of a tangent maybe, but we're in our personal lives, we just so appreciate somebody who's passionate about something.
So, I know what you're going to tell.
Sometimes this leads to, on our part in our personal life, poor decisions because we bought something we really didn't need, but they were passionate about it.
The sales presentation was so fantastic. Spot on that we had to buy.
And they believe in it, and they're living it. It's not, you know, hey, you know, this, that, and that. And the
we're
other.
Suckers for a good
we're
sales
suckers
presentation.
For a sales presentation. So not that we're, you know, trying to be salespeople, but what we've taken away from some of our failings in our personal life is be passionate about, you know, what you're doing. And that passion is something that really sparks people's interest.
Absolutely. And one reason that we are so passionate about the marriage team is because we have seen marriages done well and we've seen marriages done really poorly. Mm-hmm. And we were so interested in what does it take to make a marriage go well. And why do some not? And so that has translated really in spending a whole lot of time in research and then sharing what we've learned.
And not to mention our own life where the train wreck we had in our own marriage that, wow, we could do better than this.
Yes, absolutely. Learning from our own mess ups for sure.
Yeah. So just thinking personally, like areas where, you know, you've messed up, as you said, even just thinking about the passion, maybe what are some ways that, maybe you find yourself not having passion about something, but you're leading it.
Yeah.
What are some things that you've done that maybe can generate passion that, you know, I've heard Ronnie say things before, like fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
You know, nobody ever wants to think that they're faking their passion, their inspiration. So what are some maybe ideas around how to generate passion then?
Yeah, well, first, I mean, our passion for marriage, it's so strong. However, there are times where, you know, life, things that are going on where we're just, our head might not be as in it at the moment.
Right.
But we know in our heart of hearts that this is truly our passion. So fake it till you make it kind of, but it's, we know, and we're going to continue to serve, even though maybe a feeling isn't there. And that really translates into healthy marriages too,
mm-hmm.
because so often we don't feel, you know, this just raging passion for each other, but we have this just solid foundation of love for each other that weathers it. So mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, you have to be able to really tap into that, even though sometimes
keep showing up. Yeah. Also with, I'm not great with administrative things. And for us, just the idea of having regular meetings with a team. Mm-hmm. Well, we have great intentions. We're gonna keep doing this. We're gonna keep meeting. We're gonna keep updating and things like that. And then several times over the last 10, 12 years, we have dropped that ball. Mm-hmm. And then we have another meeting, and we find ourselves having to apologize to a group of people because we did not.
Yeah.
Follow through, because that's just not what we get excited about. We really get excited about being in the nitty gritty with a couple that's in trouble. That's my favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then also teaching classes and working with people to improve their station.
Yeah.
And that has helped us over the years as we've been able to pull a larger team together. So now we're leveraging back to our strengths, strengths of the entire team. To offset some of the areas where, you know, I know organization's not one of the talents, but I'm sure it's wrapped up and it's down in the, you know, below 28 kind of level.
For strengths, you mean?
Yeah. If it were a talent.
If it were a strength.
So bringing team members along to offset that.
Yeah.
And realizing, we didn't do that well.
Yeah.
All right, let's start.
Owning it and
moving it forward.
Yeah.
You know, just own it. Acknowledge it and then do better.
And another way that I think that people want to follow a leader is that they're excited that they know that we're excited that they show up.
Yeah.
They know that we appreciate them.
Yeah.
And we're kind of always amazed at the number of people that will show up on this team and want to give to it.
Let's face it. Our secret weapon's your food. So that's the secret weapon.
I do like to feed them.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's following Jesus. Jesus fed many people. So,
if you're feeding me, I want to follow you.
Yeah. So,
that does help.
So a little recruiting announcement out there. Want good food? Come see the Marians. Or at least Jen Marion, not Scott Marion.
Yeah. You know, being someone that people want to follow is so relational. But the reality is that our emotions go up and down all over the place.
Right.
Our focus goes up and down all over the place. And so, you know, what I heard you say, Scott, is we need to know our why right off the bat. Jen, you know, we need to be consistent.
Yeah.
We need to keep showing up.
Yeah.
You know, those are some things I think about a leader who, well, really the first leader in my life outside of my family that really made a big impact on me. I was in middle school and he was my small group leader at church. And I had two older brothers. You know, part of my story was I always wanted to be with them. They didn't always want little brother to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always felt like I was a tag along. Like maybe I wasn't really wanted around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was kind of deep in my heart. And this guy, Rick Masters, who was my mm-hmm. small group leader, he made me feel like he wanted me there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, he was in his early 20s. I was, 12 or 13?
Yes.
And he made me feel like he wanted me there, you know? Mm-hmm. The reality is, your food, the time and effort that it takes to prepare it, you didn't go to Hy-Vee and, you know, order the food and bring it, you know? Yeah. That makes people feel like you want them there. And so, yeah, those are all great, great practical things that really, really make a big difference.
Well, I have to brag on Jen just a little bit because she just doesn't prepare food. She'll often will think through, okay, who's going to be here? What are they like? And when she knows what you like, she's going to go out of her way to try to provide that.
Yeah.
And so truly the food is prepared with love.
Well, and that's not expected.
Yeah.
Food is my love language.
It's like, I just think food isn't expected. I think, you know, Amy and I have a son who has a dairy allergy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people are always concerned about it. Every Monday night, our Tea Life group is making some kind of dairy-free dessert, which is
so good.
Actually pretty hard to do. I always think that you don't have to do that. That's not necessary. Like, I don't expect anybody to go out of their way because one person out of the masses has, you know, a need. And so, but when you do, it makes a big difference.
And you remember it.
Yeah. And you remember it. Yes. Sure. All right. So, second point of being a highly effective influencer is that people want to go there. You know, when you're leading that vision, the mission, the goal, the purpose, the initiative, people want to make it happen. People want to go there. So, again, from your opinion, your experience, what makes people want to go there?
You know, I mean, when we look at marriage and within the body of Relevant First and then outside of Relevant and Elkhorn, we start with where does Jesus want us to be? And once we've defined that, we have found when we've sit and tried to say, okay, based upon our experiences or based upon what we know, you know, let's create the there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that works, but it's rarely effective. But when we are truly seeking, okay, Father, where do you want us to be? Where do you want for marriages? I don't, you know, we'll say we don't, you know, when we're working with a couple, the goal is not to restore your marriage. The goal is to have your marriage become what Jesus has always desired it to be. So mm-hmm. it's much bigger than that.
Right.
And so once we find that, you know, that there and defined by Christ and really seeking that, we feel that, that is truly the inspiration of, you know, getting people to come along.
Yeah, yeah. You know, God puts longings in our hearts. Yeah. He creates us that way. Currently, the paid staff is reading through Oswald Sanders' Spiritual Leadership.
Yep.
Yeah. And it, you know, it he makes a big point that spiritual leadership is different than leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And it's involving the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. in the work of your leadership. And mm-hmm. so that, you know, that's something that people can grab onto. Mm-hmm. That's something that's bigger than self.
Mm-hmm.
A really cool thing that happens a lot with us is that we'll have a couple approach us and say, we really need a mentor couple.
Mm-hmm.
And we have people in place who have said that they would be willing to mentor a couple. But it's not like you, okay, this is the next couple up in the queue and they get this couple.
And it's probably hard to match them together too.
Right. Yeah. And that's the whole thing, that when a couple approaches us and said, we really need a mentor couple, we pray about it. And we'll say, we'll let you know when we have it. And I don't know if it's going to be today or if it's going to be in 2 weeks. But God always puts someone on our hearts mm-hmm. Who that couple should be, who's going to mentor them. And sometimes they're not even anyone who is a part of our team. They're mm-hmm. just someone we know. And God will place that potential mentor couple on our hearts. And we approach them and say, you know, sorry, but God told us it was you. Are you willing? Are you able? Yeah. Is this season of life okay? And I can't remember a time where a couple has said no to that. And it can be quite a commitment, depending on how they want to approach it. But it's so neat to see how God will speak to us and tell us who and how and where, and then we put them together and they go off. We're not a part of that at all.
Yeah.
But God is.
Yeah. So if you would have a leader who you're coaching, whether it's a class leader or a marriage mentoring couple, they say our team or the couple that we're investing in, they are just not interested in where we're trying to lead them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to go there. Mm-hmm. What practically would you tell them? Maybe some steps that they could take that would help them with casting the vision.
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't worry so much about casting the vision. I'd worry way more about asking questions.
Okay.
You start with questions. And so I would counsel them to ask why don't you want to go this direction? Where do you want to go? And to work with them to see, is that a better way? Is that God leading us in that direction instead?
Mm-hmm.
And to be open to that, because this is not something that we own in any way. This is something that we help with, that we drive, but we have no ownership in this. And so for me, it's always about asking questions.
Yeah.
And my guess is that you don't just ask questions and then leave it where it's at. You know, once you know,
I hope so. Yeah.
Once you know where to go, then it's okay. Well, what are we going to do about it?
Right.
How do we get there?
Right.
Keep moving forward. Keep going towards.
Well,
something.
Sometimes forward is sideways too. You know what
That's
I mean?
True.
It can be kind of a diagonal.
Maybe I should say keep moving.
Yeah. Keep moving sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I love the way, you know, we'll say from, you know, the front nearly every Sunday is, what is that next step?
Yeah.
And so often when we're working with couples who are struggling, they're just stuck in a rut.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we want to go where we want you to go where Christ has always wanted your marriage to be, but that might take some time.
And it certainly isn't going to be overnight.
And it's not going to be overnight. So focus on that next step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So being a leader who is a highly effective influencer doesn't mean that people just want to go there. It also means that you are in your leading, people are getting there. People are achieving the vision, the mission, the goal. Purpose, initiatives, they're actually producing results, carrying out the responsibilities effectively. They're achieving what you're leading them into, and they're getting to where you actually are trying to lead them. From your experience, what have you seen done that ensures that people are actually getting there?
Yeah, when we met with our team back in January, we spent a significant amount of time just really looking at, okay, where are we being led?
Mm-hmm.
We look from a relevant standpoint, 2030 goals, and start thinking beyond.
It takes some time just to dream.
Just to dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, once you start putting that dream down, and you know,
it wasn't just us dreaming; it was everybody in the room.
We had 15 couples in the room that were talking. We were breaking out different groups and talking about different topics and subjects, and you know, came up with through Jimmy was there as well, who is our our pastor who's helping us with this, helped hone in on our vision, which is we exist to prepare, enrich, and restore marriages. And so, really starting there and looking at, okay, what activities, what are things that we can be doing that are going to move us towards that goal? What's that next
step? To me,
step?
One of the biggest measures of are we getting there has been to have a couple go through heart care, which is meant for people who are in crisis, their marriage is in crisis.
Yeah.
They don't know if they're going to stay together or not. They've gone through heart care. Perhaps they've attended a class or two, like Naked Marriage. And then over time, they're now on our team, part mm-hmm. of our team.
Yeah.
And just to see them go from one end of the spectrum all the way over to the other end and being able to turn around now and serve others is incredible.
Yeah.
And that feels like success.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And their experience coupled with, where Christ is leading them, and
who better to speak into other couples
who are struggling?
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, and I think I think that people hear stories like, oh, we were in crisis, we were really struggling, and now we're investing in other people. If they're still in that crisis, if they're still, they hear stories of other people, they might be motivated, but then it's easy to go back to the marriage and have that wound reopened mm-hmm. with something that happens mm-hmm. and think, well, that's somebody else. That's never going to happen. Like, we're not going to get there.
Right.
And so, you've got a marriage mentor who has someone that they're just frustrated. Mm. You know, what do you tell them? What practical advice do you give them to help people that they're leading actually get there?
Yeah. Yeah, I think... with anybody who is, so you got a willing participant mm-hmm. who wants to go somewhere
yeah.
and you've got somebody who is just kind of stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
And really trying to assess, particularly when you're working with a singular couple versus a team,
sure.
where are they? Are yeah. they stuck in the mud?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you focus? And sometimes getting them unstuck out of the mud is not, it's not a one-time meeting. It's just yeah. being patient, mm-hmm. making sure they realize that, hey, I'm here. I'm not going to pester you or overly pursue you. I'm going to check in with you, but I'm here.
Yeah. Overall, we really try to encourage our couples to meet with another couple, couple to couple, mm-hmm. Because you get more of the full spectrum of the situation when the four people are present. But when one person in that struggling couple is really struggling more, then it may be important for the two men to get together or the two women to get together mm-hmm. outside of that foursome
mm-hmm. yeah.
and to really do some damage control or to encourage. A big, big part of what we do is showing hope. We're looking yeah. for hope all the time in couples who are struggling. And we're looking for itty-bitty signs of it and great big signs of it. And we try to point out any hope we can find, and mm-hmm. that just breathing that encouragement into them, and sometimes that is enough to change everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you're leading a couple who's in crisis, that's different than when you're leading a team.
Correct.
When you're, but there are things that apply to all of it, and mm-hmm. For a couple who is in crisis at one point. They had hope in their marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't have gotten married if they mm-hmm. didn't.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so being able to remind them of that hope.
Yeah.
Well, you think of a guest services team.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't, at one point they joined the team for a reason. They had a passion, a desire to see something happen. And so, being able to remind them of the hope of that team.
Yeah.
Why the team exists. So many people on guest services will join because they say, the first time I walked through the door, someone smiled at me.
Yes, eye contact. And, they saw me.
And
yes.
they saw me, and they made me feel like I was important, and mm-hmm. I want to do that for other people.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
And so, it's all knowing the why, mm-hmm. reminding people the why, but I like how you said that helping them find hope, because mm-hmm. that really is the why.
Mm-hmm.
So that's... really important. So the fourth point of being a highly effective influencer, this is where I feel like you guys are at your best. And you might say differently. We already talked about how you have eight different leaders who are leading the naked mm-hmm. marriage. And so the fourth principle of a highly effective influencer is that other leaders are equipped and reproduced. Not just themselves. They're not just getting a job done and it's stopping at them, but really it's multiplication. You're producing other leaders who in turn have an influence. And so the impact goes on. So we're going to break this into two things, equipping current leaders and reproducing new leaders. Let's start with the equipping your current leaders. What are some things you do to equip current leaders?
So often we'll have you know, couples who show an interest, but then we start talking about, you know, the various facets of, within the marriage team. We've got the nearly newly, which is premarital. We've got naked marriage, which is kind of that 80% middle. And you got the crisis care, which is heart care. And when we say, okay, getting engaged, they feel ill-equipped.
Yeah.
And so just spending time speaking to them, you are, and here's how, first and foremost. But then helping them build some of the skills to do that. We've got, you know, through mentoring as an example, there's online training that, you know, will bring somebody along to well, just how do I do it? How do I structure a formal mentoring relationship?
Yeah, we've got some great resources for training.
Yeah.
And they tend to be online, for, at least for premarital and for the classes, which is great. Apprenticeship is so important. We won't let anyone lead a class that hasn't at least gone through it.
Yeah.
Hopefully gone through it and apprenticed, and sometimes even apprenticed multiple times until they're ready to lead it themselves.
Yeah.
And then with heart care, it's the same way where
there's not necessarily, I mean, there is training that we'll do from time to time, but that's more just one-on-one.
Yeah.
Come along with us as we walk a couple through. They become a mentor couple. They understand it and get more equipped or comfortable in those, you know, crisis type situations.
Yeah. And also we really try to determine what is your personality type as a couple. Are you good for the long run, the long haul, like mentoring a couple for a year, once a month for a year, or are you short term in the crisis helping, you know, kind of like triage, and then you're out of the relationship? Are you good for an 8-week class? That kind of thing. So there are real different ways to approach it and different personalities. I love a good crisis. I mean, I just want to get in there and have all the nitty gritty.
And that's really working at people's strengths.
Right.
Exactly. At their fit.
Exactly.
Know? Yeah. And then we look, you know, what's the need within in the group, and focusing, as you said, you know, okay, where are you equipped? Where are your strengths? And trying to match them up as best we can.
Yeah. Well, some of the things I've seen you to do specifically, you know, you talked about having good tools, but just whether it's curriculum or resources of people resources, you know, I remember when we were putting together the Naked Marriage class, and you guys did your work. You did your research. You read a lot of different books, a lot of different studies to try to find the right one, not just anyone. And so, you know, that makes a big difference. If you're going to equip people, you got to have the right information. But the other thing that you both do very well is you continue to follow up. You continue to stay in people's lives. And I think so often, and this isn't just a church problem, this is anywhere, work environment, whatever, we're given a role and we're just kind of left to do it on our own. And, you know, even trying to set up this podcast, we were like, well, what days and nights do you guys have available? I was like, well, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're meeting with this couple, we're, you know, and it's like, that's awesome, because not that you're busy, but it's awesome that you continue to stay in people's lives, continue to invest in them, and don't just think of equipping as information, but the relational aspect of where are you at, and you know, how can we help? So you guys do a really good job of that.
That reminds me, too, something that we talked about in preparing for this was simply that we really try to honor seasons of the people that are on the team.
Yeah.
And we'll say, how are you feeling about leading for this next trimester? Is this a good – like if it's baseball season and your kids play baseball, please don't lead, that kind of thing. Or if your marriage is struggling or there's a health – situation going on, take that time off.
Sure.
And like we said, we've taken off this trimester of leading a class, and it's been really good for us to do that.
Yeah.
And it reminds us of how much we enjoy doing it.
It reminds you of how much you enjoy doing it, and it allows you to be at your best.
Right.
Which will make the group, the class, the team.
Absolutely.
At its best.
And we're modeling it for everyone else too, that it's okay to take time off.
Yeah. Okay. So the other side is reproducing new leaders. So what are some things that you've either done, you've seen, that, you know, really reproduces other leaders?
So my favorite thing about it is that we, in this this area, this team, we don't go out and recruit at all.
Yeah.
We might notice people who, boy, they'd be great on the team, but we don't tend to go out and say, would you have an interest in joining us in doing this? We let God bring them to us. We give that time. And we have them approach us and say, we have an interest in doing this.
Yeah.
And then we spend time with them, but it's...
Well, we've had, you know, couples over the years who have said, yeah, I just really think it's cool what's going on in the marriage team. I'd be interested at some point, and just knowing that in there, you know, they've got little kids or whatnot, and it's just not a good time, but you know, following up from time to time, and then
letting them know that we will take you whenever you're ready. But not until you're ready.
Yeah.
And because it's too important. The work that we do is too important to do it poorly.
Yeah, and our team doesn't require a lot of you know, volunteers.
Right.
You know, it's not like a you know, children's ministry where we need lots more volunteers. Yeah. And so, you know, how would we build them up in various situations? It's, again, sitting down with them one-on-one to test, investing in them one-on-one, letting them grow as leaders themselves. You know,
give them room to grow.
Give them room. Mm-hmm. You know, here's our mission as a team, but, you know, God's uniquely wired you, so you go be you within the context of that, you know, and helping us follow and meet whatever those goals God's put on the team.
Yeah, and then the people that are currently on our team, if they approach us and say, we feel like God's leading us to lead a class instead of heart care or whatever, let's do that. Let's get you in there.
Let's understand what that is and, you know, come along with you and make sure that they feel like they're supported. And if we, you know, say, hey, this is ultimately what is great, then go do it.
Well, and I don't want to disagree with you. You say that you don't recruit, but at the same time, from knowing you two, being around you, you know, interacting with you on the ministry stuff, I know without a doubt that you're always thinking of new leaders.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
So you might not be recruiting, but, you know, almost every conversation I have with you guys is about leaders that you're leading and or people that you think would be really good leaders.
Yes.
And so it's always on your mind.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
That I believe for you two, that makes it might not be recruiting so
it's
much.
Not yeah, active
it's,
recruiting.
It's not active recruiting. But I mean, you know, when you have a couple come together, there's one couple that comes to mind and one was, yes, let's go. You know, let's lead as a couple, but the other wasn't quite there yet. They weren't comfortable in certain environments, but just continue to come alongside them and encourage them.
Are you talking about us? No.
that does describe us. Jen's ready to go. You want to do this counseling? What? Counseling? Me? I'm the worst counselor in the world. But no, this, yeah, very much like how we were, and just encouraging them. And now to see them both come up and doing amazing things and celebrating that with them is just so rewarding.
Yeah. And I think that plays out in other teams and different types of leaders. You'll actually find where it's not a couple, but it's actually an individual that is in certain areas completely gung-ho, and maybe they have one area of leading that team or group or whatever that they're like, I'm hung up on that one thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so being able to be patient, work with them, find most people end up getting over that one thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because they're excited about
exactly
what the team is about.
Yeah.
The mission, you know.
Our team is unique in that we have to have two people who are equally passionate and equally invested and equally healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes it harder to find.
Yeah.
But when we find them, it's awesome.
Well,
or when they
we're
find
working
us.
With those couples. I mean, we talked about and we joked about Jen's cooking and how that's, you know, that's her love language. That's not everybody's love language, and that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, let's figure out, you know, how is it going to be important? Where do you feel you're gifted in different ways to, you know, to bring people along?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So while we have you here, we want to give you the opportunity to say anything you want to all the leaders of Relevant. This is your opportunity. Are there any final thoughts that you would like to leave us with to help us be better leaders who are highly effective influencers?
That's a big question. And speaking to the masses and
masses.
You know, the masses,
relevant. It's masses. We have over 200 leaders.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I hope this doesn't come off as churchy, if you will. It's, it's not for me. It's not just leading within relevance, leading outside of relevant in my professional life. I'm my best leader when I am truly tapping into Christ. Am I spending time in the Word? Am I spending time with other men and couples that are, you know, encouraging me as an individual? Because I have my fears and my doubts about who I am as a leader, speaking encouragement into me. When I'm doing that, I am my best leader. Yeah. When I'm not, I can really mess things up. And so, you know, find that time, whatever works, to be daily in the Word, or, you know, regularly in the Word, spending time with people who are building you up, not tearing you down, and figuring out, okay, how am I going to lead better in this situation?
Yeah. And I would also add, I would say yes to all that. And I would add also making sure that we together are solid and strong.
Yeah.
And if we're not, that we have to course correct immediately.
Absolutely.
And not just set that aside and keep helping others, helping others, helping others, hoping that this will be okay, because it won't be. And so we have to stop and take time and make sure that we are connected and strong.
I'm glad you said that. That doesn't apply just to the marriage group. For those who are married and are serving individually or together within,
absolutely.
You know, just having that communication.
It's the reality of home life comes into our work life. Home life comes into our serving, our church life, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, being right at home allows us to come and be right when we're investing in others. Yeah. So makes a huge impact. So that's great. So as I wrap up today, I want to challenge everyone listening with what one next step can you take from something you heard today? We don't just want to spend 30 to 40 minutes talking about leadership. We want all of us to become highly effective influencers. So what do you feel like God may be asking you to do? What areas of a highly effective influencer do you want to grow in the most? And what step do you need to take in order to see that growth happen? Scott and Jen, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been really good, I believe helpful for all of our leaders. And I want to say thank you. This might sound a little bit weird, but I want to say thank you for who you are. Most often we say thank you for what you do. But honestly, when I think of you two, I love who you are. You make our church better. We're lucky to have you serving in so many different capacities. And you're having an influence. So thank you for who you are. And then for all of our listeners, I want to say thank you for listening. Thank you for taking the time to invest in yourself as a leader. Make sure whatever platform you're listening to that you subscribe so that you get a notice when the next Relevant Leader Monthly comes out. We do these every month on the last Friday of the month. And if you take the time to invest in yourself as a leader, then our church is going to be better. And so take the time, invest in yourself, and we'll all be better for it. So, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.